Hey everybody, welcome to my podcast. My name is Eden, and this is another segment of Brutal Crime. Today I'm going to be discussing a case that grabbed the hearts of an entire nation and sparked a Academy Award-winning movie about a simple human's act of just wanting to be loved for who they are. This case has affected so many people and has brought so much attention to how incredibly dangerous it is for the LGBT community to be so openly honest with themselves. This is the story of Brandon Tina, a transgendered woman who lost her life at the hands of two men who were transphobic. So if you had paid attention to the documentary about Brandon Tina, you'll know that the name is actually Tina Brandon. He was born as Tina Renee Brandon. But Brandon Tina, basically, he was born Tina Renee Brandon. He was born December 12th, 1972, and he lived until December 31st, 1993. He was an American trans man who was raped. And later, along with Philip Devine and Lisa Lambert, they were murdered in Humboldt, Nebraska. It's the subject, basically, that sparked the Academy Award-winning movie Boys Don't Cry, starring Hilary Swank. It is, if you have not seen that movie, please, I recommend that you watch it. It is absolutely gut-wrenching, it is heartbreaking, and you absolutely just, your heart breaks after you watch it, but it opens your eyes to how incredibly scary it can be when you are just trying to be in the middle of transitioning and people just aren't as accepting of it as you would hope them to be. But Brandon Tina was born in Lincoln, Nebraska. His father died in a car accident in Lancaster County. 8 months before he was born, he was raised by his mother, Joanne. Tina and his older sister, Tammy, they lived with their maternal grandmother in Lincoln before they were reclaimed by their mother. When Tina was 3 years old and Tammy was six, the family resided in Pine Acre Mobile Home Park in Northeast Lincoln. Joanne received disability checks and worked as a clerk in a woman's retail store in Lincoln to support the family. As young children, Tina and Tammy were sexually abused by their uncle for several years, and Tina sought counseling for this in 1991. Joanne remarried once from 1975 to 1980. Tina's family described him as being a tomboy since early childhood. Tina began identifying as a male during adolescence and dated a female student during his period. His mother rejected his male identity and continued referring to him as her daughter. On several occasions, Tina claimed to be intersex. Tina and his sister attended St. Mary's Elementary School at Pius X High School in Lincoln, where Tina was remembered by some as being socially awkward. During his second year, Tina rejected Christianity after he protested to a priest at Pius X regarding Christian views on abstinence and homosexuality. He also began rebelling at school by violating the school dress code, policy to dress code, in a more masculine fashion. During the first semester of his senior year, a U.S. Army recruiter visited the high school, encouraging students to enlist in the armed forces. Tina enlisted in the United States Army shortly after his 18th birthday and hoped to serve a tour of an operation of Desert Shield. However, he did fail the written entrance exam by listing his sex as a male. Basically, he wanted to join the Army and he wanted to fight for his country, but he was denied the ability to fight for his country simply because he was a woman. And yet, it's okay to join the army when you're a man or a woman. But the fact that he just was a woman but identified as a male, that's what kept him from getting to do his country service, which, honestly, to me, that's fucked up. In December 1990, Tino went to Holiday Skate Park with his friends, binding his breast to pass as a boy. The 18-year-old Tino went on a date with a 13-year-old girl. He also met the girl's 14-year-old friend Heather and began regularly dressing in a male as a male. In the months nearing his high school graduation, Tina became unusually outgoing and was remembered by classmates as a class clown. Tina also began skipping school and receiving failing grades and was expelled from Pius X High School in June 1991, 3 days before high school graduation. That's another thing that really pissed me off. I don't understand why you would expel somebody just 3 days before graduation. To me, that seems a little messed up. You should have just allowed them to have 3 days just so they could graduate instead of just like ruining their entire life, regardless of the matter. You know, that doesn't make sense to me. It was 3 days. what was the worst that could happen? But anyways, in the summer of 1991, Tina began his first major relationship with Heather. Shortly after, Tina was first employed as a gas station attendant in an attempt to purchase a trailer home for him, himself, and his girlfriend. His mother, however, did not approve of the relationship and convinced her daughter to follow Tina in order to find out whether Tina's relationship with Heather was platonic or sexual. In January 1992, Tina underwent a psychiatric evaluation, which concluded that Tina was suffering from a severe and sexual identity crisis. He was later taken to the Lancaster County Crisis Center to ensure that he was not suicidal. He was released from the center 3 days later and began attending therapy sessions, sometimes accompanied by his mother or sister. He was reluctant to discuss his sexuality during these sessions, but eventually revealed that he had been raped. The counseling sessions ended 2 weeks later. In 1993, after some legal trouble, Tina moved to Falls City region of Richardson County, Nebraska, where he identified solely as a man. He became friends with several local residents. After moving into the home of Lisa Lambert, Tina began dating Lambert's friend, 18-year-old Lana Tisdale, Tisdale, and began associating with ex-convicts John L. Lauder and Marvin Thomas. On December 19th, 1993, Tina was arrested for forging checks. Tisdale paid his bail with money obtained from her father. Because Tina was in the female section of the jail, Tisdale learned that he was transgender. When Tisdale later questioned Tina about his gender, he told her he was a hermaphrodite pursuing a sex change and operation. They continued dating. In a lawsuit regarding the film adaptation Boys Don't Cry, this was disputed by Tisdale. Tina's arrest was posted in the local paper under his birth name, and thereupon his acquaintances learned that he was assigned a female at birth. Okay, so this is the part of the story that kind of like takes a turn for the worst. So he is having this sexual identity crisis, but he knows what he wants. He wants to be a boy. He acts like a boy. He feels like a boy. He does everything in his power to be who he wants to be on the inside. So he moves far away where nobody knows who he is, tries to make a new life for himself, meets someone, falls in love with them, and then he gets something, like he basically just gets like this branch that just like falls off a tree and smacks him with it, and then his entire life just fell apart right from then and there. And that is where this went south. People were questioning his identity just because of the simple fact that in the newspaper it was stating that his name was Tina Brandon. He was like, well, it's probably just messed up. It's a little, some people mess up on it all the time. Well, anyways, so after he was incarcerated and Lana went to go pick him up, they had discussed what was going on. And upon his release, that's when they got wind that he was indeed possibly a female. Things were very, very confusing. But in the movie Boys Don't Cry, Lana had no idea about any of this, except for there was one scene where she was engaging in a sexual act with Brandon. And when she looked up, she noticed a crease in his chest, which basically indicated that he had breasts, but she didn't pay any attention to it. It just kind of like took her by surprise. So the person he was staying with was Lisa Lambert. In the movie, she was called Candace. I'm not sure why they called her Candace, considering the fact that nobody else's names were changed in the doc in the movie, except for hers. I don't know if this was like some the family that wanted to keep her name private. I'm not really sure, but Candace was the name that they used. But regardless, we all know it was Lisa Lambert. So I'm just gonna say Lisa Lambert because that's the truth. So in the movie, Lisa, aka Candace, went to her bedroom that Brandon was staying in. And because she was just confused about checks and wasn't sure why she kept getting overdraft fees. So she went around and she was looking through stuff and she found like an array of tampons underneath the bed. She's like, wait a minute, this is really weird. These should not be here. So she had questioned a couple of people. They didn't know what was going on. And that is when everything just kind of started to fall apart. And this was literally right after Lana went to go pick Brandon up from jail. So she kind of had an idea already that he was, something wasn't right with him, but she didn't care because she was in love with him. The two men, basically, they treated Lana like a sister. Only one of them was actually in love with her. So he was kind of a little shocked and pissed off at the fact that Lana did not want to be with him anymore and that she was actually falling for this other guy who could possibly be a woman, and they were not taking this very well. So During a Christmas Eve party, Neeson and Lauder grabbed Tina and forced him into remove his pants, proving that Tisdale that Tina had a vagina. Tisdale looked only when forced to and said nothing. Lauder and Neeson later assaulted Tina and forced him into a car. They drove to an area by a meatpacking plant in Richardson County where they assaulted and gang raped him. They then returned to the Neeson's home where Tina was ordered to take a shower. Tina escaped from Neeson's bathroom by climbing out the window and went to Tisdale's house. He was convinced by Tisdale to file a police report, though Neeson and Lauder had wanted Tina not to tell the police about the gang rape or they would silence him permanently. Tina also went to the emergency room where a standard rape kit was assembled but later lost. Well, that's convenient. Sheriff Charles Belux questioned Tina about the rape reportedly, and he seemed especially interested in Tina's transsexuality, to the point that Tina found his questions rude and unnecessary and refused to answer. Neeson and Lauder learned of the report and they began to search for Tina. They did not find him, and 3 days later, the police questioned them. The sheriff declined to have them arrested due to lack of evidence. Around 1 a.m. on December 31st, 1993, Neeson and Lauder drove to Lambert's house and they broke in. They found Lambert in bed and demanded to know where Tina was. Lambert refused to tell them. Neeson searched and found Tina under the bed. The men asked Lambert if there was anyone else in the house, and then she replied that Philip Devine, who was at the time dating Tisdale's sister, was staying with her. They then shot and killed Devine, Lambert, and Tina in front of Lambert's toddler. Neeson later testified in court that he noticed that Tina was twitching and he asked Lauder for a knife, which Neeson stabbed Tina in the chest to ensure that he was dead. Neeson and Lauder then left after being arrested and charged with murder. Tina is buried in Lincoln Memorial Cemetery in Lincoln, Nebraska, his headstone inscribed with his birth name and the epitaph daughter, sister, and friend. Okay, so now here's the crazy part to this whole thing. So in the movie, a lot of things were different. A lot of things were switched around, things that didn't make sense. So in the movie, Brandon was staying at Lisa's house, aka Candace. And when they showed up to confront her, him, that's, they called him an it throughout the entire, I mean, like, it was so sad how they, where is it? I don't want it in my, like, it was just absolutely terrible how they talked about him. Anyways, so they showed up, and then in the movie, there's this big fight. Candace is screaming her head off, and shit's going down. Philip Devine wasn't even in the area. I don't even know if he was actually in the house. Just they cut so much stuff out. Stuff that was really important. Stuff that you later, after watching the movie, think, okay, yeah, that was totally the media. I mean, like, they should have just done it textbook. They should have just done this the right way. Well, in the movie, Brandon gets shot in the chest and he dies on the floor next to the wall. Yet in his crime scene photos, Brandon is dead and he's shot through the upper part of his jaw. And he's dead, laying on his back. So they cut that part out. They also claimed that in the movie, they shot Candace when she was walking down the hallway. However, her crime scene photo shows her actually laying in a bed as well. I don't know if that was the actual crime scene photo of Lisa Lambert. I'm not really sure about that yet. I don't necessarily want to go digging for that because it's just stuff like that is really traumatizing. But this whole situation was just the simple fact that these two jackasses were homophobic and transphobic, and they just felt disgusting. Yet they took this out on Brandon. Yeah, they brutally raped him for hours. And it's such an abuse of power. It really is. It's just absolutely horrible. So somebody lost their life just because of the simple fact that they ended up loving differently than somebody else did. So in the documentary, you will hear testimony from his previous girlfriends. They all had these like suspicions that he was actually a she, but none of them could prove it because all of them engaged in some kind of sexual activity, and yet none of them have ever been a testament to the fact that he ever had anything strapped on him. One of his girlfriends actually in a interview stated that she made sure, she checked all over there. There was absolutely nothing on him, so they were able to have sex, and she had absolutely no inclination that he was a she. That's how well Brandon hid his identity because he was so dedicated to being somebody that he wanted to actually be, and he lost his life for it. The reason why I wanted to talk about this is because so many people in the world are definitely losing their lives because of their sexual orientation or their sexual status. This is 100% unacceptable. This should not be happening. Nobody deserves to lose their life just because they are a transgender, just because they're gay or anything. You should never have to lose your life for anything. Absolutely no reason. Hate crimes are all over the place, but this one definitely shocked a nation. The documentary, The Brandon Tina Story, is really sad. You've got witnesses, you've got people talking about things, you've got the audio recordings of her being interrogated, him being interrogated, excuse me, sorry, being interrogated by the police officer. And when you're listening to the audio recording of that, it pisses you off because the officer seems to be completely inconsiderate of the way Brandon is. He literally seems like he cares more about finding out what kind of sexual things that she had to go through or he had to go through. It is kind of confusing talking about it in a different sense when you're referring to a woman as a he or he as a her. It's kind of difficult to get the orientation right, especially when this is just biology, but that's the whole point. If he wanted to be a he, and there was absolutely no reason why he should have lost his life because of this. And not only that, but two other innocent people lost their lives just because two men couldn't fucking get a grip on themselves and had to a commit this horrible act of violence against three innocent people and left a toddler completely motherless and a family completely shattered. I feel like Brandon's story can speak volumes against the hatred that the LGBT community actually gets, because this is happening all the time. And his story was portrayed in a very, very, very respectable way in the movie Boys Don't Cry, starring Hilary Swank, to get the awareness out, to give people an absolute 100% step by step. This is what happened. These were the chain of events. This is how things went down. Here's the life of this man, and here is what happened to him, and this is what ended it. When I had watched this movie from the very beginning, I didn't know it was a true story. I believe I was 13 when I first saw this movie. And I remember watching it and I was like, gosh, that is insane. That is insane. But then when I grew up a little bit, I was, trying to find the movie again because I really wanted to watch it. But I couldn't find it. And I ended up finding this documentary called The Brandon Tina Story. And I was like, Brandon Tina, that sounds familiar. So I clicked on it and I was watching it and I was like, oh, whoa, this is about the movie that I watched. I had absolutely no idea that this was the same story and I didn't even know it was real. So the fact that I found out that it was a real story and this actually happened, I started looking at the evidence, looked at the crime scene photos, and started doing all of this research, trying to figure out like how I'm gonna put this piece together. And it's actually really heartbreaking if you think about it. Brandon's life could have been spared had these two men just left it alone. But they made the choice to defile this human being as if she was absolutely nothing more than just a piece of meat. They took the fact that he was actually a she and they used that. But they wouldn't have gone anywhere near him if he was actually a boy. But it's the simple fact that he was a she and they used that to their advantage and they brutally assaulted him and raped him and then later shot him and killed him. So his story remains a legacy throughout the entire life. And it teaches you how to just be accepting of somebody else's sexual status. It's so wrong to hurt somebody like that. If you want to watch the documentary, it is called Boys Don't Cry. It is an autobiography slash true crime, if you will. And it depicts the life and death of Tina and Brandon Tina and everybody involved in his murder and the murder of Lisa Lambert and Philip Devine. And also, if you want to actually watch the documentary, it is called The Brandon Tina Story. And I do believe you can look it up on YouTube. That's how I watched it. And just pay close attention to what happens in the world because these are crimes that are happening daily. Okay, that is the end of this crime segment. I am gonna go ahead and hop off here. And I will be back tomorrow with another brutal crime segment. Only this time, I'm going to talk about some things that are weird and ominous and downright creepy. So I will catch you guys later. Thank you for listening. I'm Brutally Brash.